Here's our NFL analyst, longtime NFLer from FS1, Marcellus Wiley. Marcellus, we'll put you on the spot right out of the gate. Do you believe that Phillip Rivers is done, or does he have more left to play for?
Oh, man. I would answer that ultimately. I think he's done as Phillip Rivers, as we know, with the L.A. Chargers. I'll tell you why. Obviously, you could see there's no resistance to the mobile 2.0 quarterback anymore because of Lamar Jackson. Was strange for so many years, being a former defender, watching people actually get upset at a quarterback that maximized their attributes in terms of being in the pocket and actually being mobile. We actually wanted to cut off some of their talents just to say that they could become better pocket passers, and we justified it by saying they are safer in the pocket until we started seeing every pocket passer fall down and get hurt and injured and realize that as soon as you cross the white lines in the NFL, there's hell to pay whether you run, whether you throw the ball. So now we have a different climate and culture, which comes back to Phillip Rivers. He doesn't fit what's coming, which is the 2.0, which has already arrived in terms of so many of our better quarterbacks have the ability to move out of the pocket. So now you add to that this contract year, and what are you going to pay Phillip Rivers going forward at the age of 37 when you're talking about he's not mobile? This year, he's certainly fallen off a cliff in terms of last year and career production. You don't know what the forecast. So I think that what we know of Phillip Rivers in terms of him being unquestionably the franchise quarterback for the Chargers, I think that has changed. To what degree? I think the contract matters more than his performance.
Well, I'm with you on these young mobile quarterbacks. I mean, this is as entertaining of a wave as we've seen in a long time with Mahomes and Watson and Jackson.
And everything's a copycat. You know that that's going to be the new thing, and you got to go find it. How you do that, I don't know.
But don't you have to win? Like, it's one thing to be Agreed. Winning games in November. If Brady is holding the Greg. Super Bowl again at the end of the year, what does it mean, Marcellus?
Well, it's interesting that is cooking the books when we talk about success, pocket passers versus mobile quarterbacks, because there were few opportunities for anyone to be mature as a mobile quarterback, to have an organization invest in you, and for the philosophies of the offense to actually support you. So we're talking about a sample size of, let's say, 1,000 pocket passers and 11 mobile quarterbacks, and then we're saying, mobile quarterbacks, where's your success? It's like there's only been 11 of us in history. It's really a climate change, a culture change, and a psychological change before we can even balance these scales. You're right. Tom Brady, because he has Bill Belichick, because he's had tremendous defenses. Remember, the first few Super Bowls were won by the defense and special teams, not Tom Brady, the quarterback, and he's obviously evolved as a passer to become the GOAT. But in terms of success, that is almost secondary in terms of the application, execution, and effect that mobile quarterbacks have. So we won't see necessarily the numbers change in terms of Super Bowl success in the near future, but Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and many others are trying to change that. But until we have a real sample size at the collegiate level, at the high school, at the youth level, and they're coming. Because now coaches used to grab you and say, hey, if you're fast, you're a running back. Then they said, no, you're a receiver. To me, they used to say, Marcellus, you're a DN. And then a guy like Jason Taylor, you're a tweener. We don't know what to do with you. Are you a linebacker? You're a DN. Running backs, don't catch the ball out the backfield. Now all you do is catch the ball out the backfield. The evolution has finally hit the most important position, quarterback, and it's coming.
Marcellus, what the hell was up with that field last night? How were guys not blowing their ankles out? It was a goat pasture out there. I don't know how much time they had to prepare for that game. They canceled the game last year because the field was garbage, and they come up with that. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, man. Look, there's nothing worse than when you get off the bus and you walk in a tunnel and you change your clothes, all your Louis Vuitton and Versace and Gucci, you throw it on the floor, you put on your armor and you go out there, and this is the NFL, and you're like, I made it. I'm a big timer. I'm a pro. I'm one in a million. And you walk on a field that's worse than the high school you went to. And you're like, what the hell is this? this is such a letdown. And for me, I'll tell you my experiences, it really affected my engine. It affected my energy. My biorhythms were off. I'm like, this is weak, because you now have to translate your game to the conditions. And you have to change how you're going to perform. You can't just burn rubber like a Ferrari. You got to work on 4x4 traction and rough ride it through. And it's sad to see that in the greatest sport in our country, and even when we leave our borders, that we don't protect the workplace environment, the field, like we should.
Marcellus, what was the worst one you played on?
For different reasons, I could name a couple. All right, Oakland has the worst facilities. The Coliseum there, I mean, literally you have to duck to walk in the locker room. If you're over 6'3", you're ducking to walk in the locker room. And then the lockers themselves, like these, like, junior high lockers, two-to-a locker, skinny metal cages. You know, what the hell is this? I put my $200,000 gold chain in there. Crazy. So that's that. And then you go to Cincinnati, early, mid-90s, Cincinnati, late 90s. And in Cincinnati, the field was sloped. Like, you literally will be on one 20-yard line and look at the other side of the 20-yard line, and they weren't on the same elevation. And then you would get on one hash and look at the other hash, and you could see the slope. Like, rain could just run downhill. So that was scary. And then I think, like, if you look at the L.A. Coliseum sometimes in Pittsburgh late season when University of Pitt plays there as well, whatever, oh, you're just running in beach volleyball. It's like, what the hell is this? So you probably could go through many of fields. I'm a fan of natural turf. Like, let's not play around with this. I understand it's not artificial turf and it's not natural grass, but it's the best in between.
With Marcellus Wiley. So Myles Garrett is appealing his case this week with the NFL.
Citing what reason?
Well, I mean, suspended indefinitely. I think he's done for the year. I mean, the debate is, will it leak into next year? But can you put yourself in his shoes? If you were sitting there talking to Goodell or whoever it is at the league office, how could you possibly get yourself out of that if you're Myles Garrett?
Look, in today's political culture and today's sensibilities, it's going to be very difficult. People are irrational, and people will overreact, especially when you talk about what potentially could have occurred. But me, the commissioner, I stay in reality, because I'm not looking at Myles Garrett as the culprit of this situation. Obviously, he's not the aggressor, but he's the one that overstepped the bounds. We all want to go home at the end of the day. When you put that helmet on, at the end of the day, once you finish your moments in battle, you wish that guy well and hope he can make it home. Myles Garrett jeopardized that situation for Mason Rudolph. Here's the problem, though. Mason Rudolph deserves some punishment as well beyond a fine. I'm talking about suspension level. I'll tell you why. This was initiated by Mason Rudolph. This was aggravated by Mason Rudolph. This was continued by Mason Rudolph. And then Mason Rudolph figured out what a lot of little guys figure out when they fight a big guy. The odds are not in my favor. But what antagonized Myles Garrett to that point is a double team from linemen and a Mason Rudolph around him. And what you're not supposed to do is hit him with the helmet. But what you are supposed to do is protect yourself. So Myles Garrett, indefinite suspension to the end of the season, agree. But Mason Rudolph skating away from this after trying to take off his helmet unsuccessfully, after trying to kick him in the manhood, which he did successfully, and then chasing after the guy. If I'm Myles Garrett, I simply say to the commissioner, I couldn't have hit him with his helmet if he wasn't in striking range. And where this started and where this ended was not the same vicinity. So please give me all I deserve, but make sure you look at this in totality and give him what he deserves.
Great stuff as always, Marcellus. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Take care, brothers.
This is Marcellus Wiley. From FS1, longtime NFLer, defensive lineman himself. I don't think he's ever tried to take someone's helmet off.
Not many have.
No, there aren't that many examples.
The minority.
Right.
I thought I heard that he tried to grab his twig and berries.
Rudolph?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like the Zapruder film.
Kicked him.
Yeah, if you slow it down and you see it at the right spot, you're like, it looked like he kicked him, and he's not wrong. Like, he didn't have to get up and chase him and be a hero like that. Now, I'm not going to exonerate Myles Garrett. He took his helmet off and tried to take his head off with it. He should be done for the year.